Go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 7. Again, we're going to be verse 1 through 7. We're continuing our series on the greatest sermon ever, or the best sermon ever. And the title of this sermon is, You Don't Know Me, which is an interesting, because we're going to talk about judgmentalism and hypocrisy and all that really fun stuff. But before we dive in, let's just have a word of prayer. God, we thank you so much for your love and for your grace. May we receive that with open hearts, and then God, may we give that with open hearts. Be with us now as we listen attentively to what you may be saying and how we can respond boldly to a sense of grace and peace in our lives. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there's a phrase that is used when you assume something. I'm not allowed to say it in church, right? But you know that phrase. You know, when you assume something, you do something to you and me, right? And when we assume, we put our thoughts and our perceptions about another person or another situation without having all of the information that is available to us. We assume a lot in this world. As a matter of fact, we assume that Adam and Eve ate an apple. And they didn't. In the Bible, if you look there, it says they ate a fruit. It could have been a fig, or maybe it was a pomegranate. I mean, I don't know. It just says a fruit. We assume that it was an apple. We assume that Vikings have horns on their helmets when they were around, right? And that's not true. You see, clergy of that day painted Vikings as pagans, and so they were pictured as being the devil and having horns on their helmets, right? We assume that George Washington had wood teeth. Not true. As a matter of fact, he had dentures made of gold, of ivory, of animal teeth, and of lead. Can you imagine wearing some lead dentures? Some nice lead dentures, all good stuff. We assume that Albert Einstein failed math. Not true. Now, he did fail an entrance exam, but he was actually pretty good at math. You know, I've assumed so many things throughout my life. I mean, I've assumed people's intentions. I've assumed things about people's motives. I've assumed about people's actions. And while I could probably name a lot of times that maybe when I've assumed something, actually probably not a lot of times, a few times when I've assumed something that I'm actually correct about. But most of the time when I assume something, I'm probably wrong. You know, I found that if you don't ask people, if you don't speak up and get information, then you'll come to an assumption that is probably just not true. In fact, I've seen too many times when we listen to what others say about a person or a situation or even churches and believe them without seeking out the entire truth. In fact, what I've learned is that the assumptions made in those situations are often false, but damaging to people and families and churches and the body of believers. It's a sticky situation when we assume things. But friends, Jesus isn't really talking about assumptions in the scripture, even though that's something that we really do need to cover. Jesus is talking about judging. You see, assuming is believing something from your observations, your intuitions, or guesswork without possessing all of the facts. Judging is making a balanced decision based on all of the available facts and coming to a reasonable conclusion. There's a big difference between assuming and judging. It's a huge difference because what I'm about to say may take you by surprise. We are called to judge. We are called to judge what is right. We are called to judge what is wrong. But we are not the judge. See the difference? I think the core of what Jesus is saying here is that the way we deal with judging and the parameter of what we use to make judgments is vital. And I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's read the scripture. It says this, Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 through 6. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way that you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's or sister's eye and pay no attention to this great big plank, that's the New Revised Bryan Standard Version, the great big plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother or your sister, take a speck out of your eyes when all the time there's this huge ball of wood in your eye? You hypocrite. Jesus' words, not mine. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give to dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Yeah. Have you ever heard someone tell you or had someone tell you, stop being judgmental? I mean, Jesus commands his followers to impact the world for him. And that involves telling others what Jesus and the rest of the Bible says about things. See, a few issues create as much frustration or anger in our society today than the issue of judging. I mean, if you want to get somebody mad at you really quick, just say that you think they're wrong about something that they said or done or an opinion or a belief they had. And when you do that, you instantly become accused of being in judgmental or intolerant. Steve Martin said, never judge a man unless you've walked a mile in his shoes, but then you'll be a mile away and have someone choose. Dare to share your opinion about something and you're faced with, well, who are you to judge? You never got that, have you? Or, no, he's addressing the haughty here. Some people will say, remember, don't judge lest you be judged. And they're right. I mean, Jesus did say that, but they're wrong in assuming that there's this insinuation that Jesus was condemning the entire concept of judging. See, what is Jesus really saying in verse 1? Is he saying that we should never judge? No, I don't believe Jesus is saying that. He's addressing the haughty and hypocritical attitude of those who think they have it all together spiritually and then look down on other people. And again, as we read through the Sermon on the Mount, we find that one of the keystones of Jesus' distaste is of hypocrisy, right? He rips the religious leaders of their religion in this time, saying that they look at one another and they think that they're all that, and they think that they're the ones who are in control of everything. And he rips them apart and saying one thing and doing another and displaying this idea of religion for applause only. And he's saying, don't judge at all. He's not saying that at all. What he's saying is, be careful when you judge. So today I want us to look at the good and the bad and the ugly of judging. Okay, so here's the good. I believe the good thing is that we can learn some facts about judging. And people are really fond of quoting that first verse, right? Don't judge or you're going to be judged. And if that verse meant what most people think it means, ripped from its context like this, you're going to have a point. But as I mentioned a little bit ago, this verse does not stand alone. I mean, and so we're going to look at some facts about judging, okay? First, not all judging is bad. I mean, this flies in the face of everything that our society is trying to tell us about judging. It is so important to grasp this concept and understand, though. And to help us do that, I want to direct your words to John chapter 7, verse 24, where it says this, stop judging by mere appearances and make the right judgment. That's what Jesus says. And here, it seems like he's contradicting himself in these passages, but he's not really. You see, in the passage in Matthew, Jesus is addressing the underlying issue of hypocrisy in the spirit. In John, Jesus is discussing the shallowness of a person's judgment, right, based on faulty truths. And the Bible tells us all over the place that we are to be people of good judgment based on the principles of scriptures, not the principles of the world. Friends, part of our job in society is to be judges of good and what is evil. And to advocate that responsibility is faulty thinking. You see, most folks, when referring to judging, however, they're discussing certain things that they hold dear. But the principle is still the same. We are making judgments. We're going to make them using the right measure. Not all judging is bad. The second fact to know is that people judge all the time. I mean, we really do. I love when people say that they're non-judgmental. I love it when they say that. And what they really try and say is that we don't condemn people or their actions or whatever. That's what they're really trying to say. And on the surface, that's pretty cool, okay? Because I appreciate that. Because you know, we want to make sure that we can walk along side of each other. But what it really is that they're saying whatever is happening is okay with me. And people can look at the same issue and they judge it as something being good, while people can look at that issue and judge it as being bad. Non-judgmental people I have found to be extremely judgmental. They refuse to recognize it and admit it. Another thing I found is that they're extremely judgmental and intolerant when their point of view is different than what theirs is. And that, friends, is the height of hypocrisy. This coming week, as I know some in this room will know, I will go to annual conference, and we will have conservatives, and we will have progressives, we will have Republicans, we will have Democrats, we will have old orders, we will have freshly new ordered people. Is that something? I don't know. New churches and old churches. And all people will be judging. All people will say things that will hurt another person. All people, no matter where you are on that spectrum, people judge all the time. It's just a fact. And here's the third fact of today. Judging doesn't need to be harsh. And here's where I think a lot of Christians go wrong, and pastors are not exempt. And that's what's going to happen this week, I guarantee it. I guarantee it. Happens every annual conference. We think that to pronounce a judgment automatically means it has to be done with screaming and condemnation without any direction about what to do about it. See, I suggest that we look at the model of Jesus and how he deals with judgment. He rarely, if ever, uses harsh words against those who are in sin. He never condones it, but he never brushes it aside. When he confronts it, he didn't browbeat or scream. He saved his harshness for those who pretended to be religious, but in reality were no better than the people that they were condemning. We need to spend as much time offering hope and solutions as we do pointing out that maybe somebody's falling away or missing God's best for their lives. When we're harsh, it comes across mean and condescending, and that is the attitude of the Pharisees and the religious leaders that Jesus is talking about here. And truth be told, it's still around the church today. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 2. It says this: the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. To those who oppose him, he must gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they come to their senses and escape the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. Do you hear that phrase, to gently instruct? That's a long way from, you're going to H-E double hockey sticks, you sinner. When you can talk to people about their struggles and perhaps their own distancing from God in a reasoned and reasonable manner, chances are they're much more likely to open up to the Holy Spirit showing them the truth of your words. I'll be honest, that has happened in my life. When I have been broken in sin and someone has come and talked to me with hope and with joy and has allowed me to change my life. That's the good thing. We know the facts. That's a good thing to do. Good thing to know. But here's the bad. The bad is when we use the wrong measure. Listen to the scripture again. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And as we looked at before, Jesus is not saying that we should never judge. And he says in this verse, how you judge others will be the measure in which how you will be judged. And Jesus here is rightly condemning was the hypocritical judgment and the blind criticism of the Pharisees. And the point here that we really need to be careful about is the measure in which we judge. And one of the wrong measures that were judges in Colossians 2:8, it says this: see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow or deceptive philosophy, which depends on human traditions and the basic principles of the world rather than Christ. That's what it says. And so our views of society are not reliable. They're going to shift with the wind. And you know what? Society is really wrong sometimes. And we base our opinions on what is right and wrong in society, what they want. We're in for a rude awakening, because what they accept today will be condemned tomorrow. And what they have condemned before is going to be accepted today. So truth is not determined by the majority opinion in this world. Because society says it's okay doesn't mean that it's right. So what's the standard by which we judge? Sunday school answer is Jesus, right? John 1 says this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the world became flesh and made his dwelling among us. See, my job is to communicate what God has said and do it in a reasonable and reasoned manner. And here's why this is so important. If Jesus is right, then the world is in a world of hurt both now and in the end times, because the Bible is the standard in which we will be judged. And if we believe that Christ and what the Bible says, and we are saved, and if we disregard what the Bible says about heaven, then we are lost. And God created heaven, and he created you and me, and he has the right to set the rules and the standards. We don't have the right to tell God that he's wrong, and we don't use the wrong measure, because that is bad. The good, the bad, and now the ugly. The ugly is the blindness to your own issues. In his peanut strip, Charles Schulz had an amazing talent for communicating truths like this in a humorous, memorable ways. And then once one strip, Charlie Brown rests his head in his hands, and he's leaning against the wall, and he's looking miserable. And his friend Lucy approaches and saying, discouraged again, eh, Charlie Brown? And Charlie Brown doesn't even answer. And, you know what your trouble is, says Lucy. And without waiting for a response, she says, you know, the whole trouble with you is that you are you. And Charlie Brown says, well, I mean, what can I do about that? And Lucy says, well, I don't pretend to give advice. I just merely point out the trouble. That's how often we treat each other, isn't it? I know too many people like this, both inside and outside the church, who are always willing to point out the issues of other people. Who are always willing to complain about others, who never say a good thing about another person. And here's what Jesus says. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? And here's where we're going to get a little bit personal. Not naming names or anything, but if you feel a little bit uncomfortable, it could be you. But Jesus is talking about stuff that's probably going to hit close to home for some of us. And now would be a good time to kind of pull your feet underneath of the pew, because it might get stepped on a little bit. A working definition of hypocrisy is condemning others without dealing with your own sinfulness. Listen to that really carefully. Definition of hypocrisy is condemning others without dealing with your own sinfulness. Condemning someone's adulterous behavior without recognizing or doing anything about your sin of gossiping. Someone who accuses others of being judgmental when they themselves are being judgmental of others. Judging the intent of another person without gaining all the facts, and then not seeing how their judgments have caused harm and disunity. Now, I'd say that's being pretty hypocritical. But there's something else that needs to be recognized here that I want to mention this before we move on. Is Jesus is not saying that we shouldn't help people see when they are doing things that are not of God. He just says that we need to remove the blinders from our own eyes first so that we can help that person better. Does that make sense to anybody? I mean, we're not to ignore someone else's struggles, or we're not to ignore when people are kind of falling away from what God originally intended them to be. We're simply working on our struggles as well, and needing to work on the things that we have to deal with first. And we need to take the plank out of our own eye before we can take the speck out of somebody else's. It isn't that we don't take the speck out, but it's clearly saying that we have to work on our own stuff before we even open up our mouth. So this morning, I want us just to, so kind of wrapping up, look at some ways to avoid hypocrisy. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3, the Message shares these words, and it's really great. I don't often use the Message, but when I do, it's really because I really like how it's worded. It says this: if someone falls into sin, forgivingly restore them, saving your critical comments for yourself. You might be needing forgiveness before the day's out. Stoop down and reach out to those who are oppressed. Share their burdens and so complete Christ's law. If you think you are too good for that, you are badly deceived. So the first way to avoid hypocrisy is to look in the mirror, right? Jesus said, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will clearly see to remove the speck from your brother's eye. We've discussed this, so I don't want to go deeper anymore, except for to say that you and I are not perfect, and there are areas of our lives that we need the Spirit to be working on deep within us. And when you understand that, you are much less likely to come across harsh or condemning in another person's life. The second thing, confirm that the concern is actually biblical. You know, we often say cleanliness is next to godliness. That's nowhere in the Bible, friends. Sorry, it's just not there. See, a lot of times, including a lot of Christians, get worked up about a lot of stuff that has zero concern in the Bible, right? Kids, you can use that. Actually, all the kids are gone, so parents, you're free, all right? There are a lot of stuff that people get worked up about when they think that it's a concern in the Bible. For instance, musical styles we listen to. Right? I mean, there's a lot of good music and there's a lot of bad music out there, and it has nothing to do with the kind of instruments that are used or not used. If you come into my office during the week, you're just as likely to hear 80s rock music as you would Christian contemporary music, as you would classical music. Or I'm watching Netflix, one of the two. No, I'm joking. No, I really do. Or there are plenty of people who feel that Christians should not watch television. And while I be the first to say that there are plenty of garbage on TV, that doesn't mean that it's all bad, right? You need to exercise good judgment about what you watch. You need to exercise good judgment about what you listen to. Because Jesus is very clear that anything that we allow to come through our eyes or our ears has an impact on us and has an impact on people around us. See, my point here is that before we go and tell somebody that they're wrong or that they're in sin, we need to make sure that we have a biblical understanding of that concern. And if you don't, you might just have to suck it up and deal with it. There are plenty of things going on that have clear scriptural teachings in the Bible that need to be addressed. So make sure, whatever it is that you're focused on, making sure it's in the Bible. And here's the third way to avoid hypocrisy, is to offer help and encouragement. It's easy to criticize. I can do that with my eyes closed. Watch this. You're too fat, you're too thin, you're too tall, you're too short, your hair's too long, and your hair's just absolutely ugly, you're an ugly person. See, I can do all that with my eyes closed, right? We can always say the bad things. That's a natural outpouring. You've heard it said, if you get one negative comment, how many comments of good kind of overtakes it? 10, at least. We can all be negative, and we tend to be negative, right? It's easy to point out the problems in the situation and the problems in others, but it's an all new thing altogether when we work with somebody for solutions. And I've seen too many people stop relationships, leave churches, get angry with family without these conversations and without that communication. And then they take this false assumption with them and they create disunity within those relationships based on the false judgments that they have. It takes a true brother or sister in Christ, it takes a true disciple in Christ to come along somebody and say, let me help you with that. Or, I want to be a part of the solution here. Or, you know what you're doing is not what I sense God calling us to do. But Jesus died for my sins and he died for your sin, and so can we help each other with this freedom of Christ? Or when you see a fellow Christian struggling, you come alongside of them and say, you know what? I love to do all that I can to help you out here. Can we pray together? Can we talk? Can we look at the scriptures? Can we walk together? Offer help and encouragement. That's what disciples do. They don't cut and run. Finally, Jesus in the scripture says one of the weirdest verses that I've ever come across. Other than that talking donkey scripture in the Old Testament. There is a talking donkey scripture in the Old Testament. It's weird. Listen to this scripture. Do not give to dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. And if you do, they might trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. This is a scripture, I don't know if whatever Matthew was on that day, that he was just hearing that wrong. But he was in that circle, so I'm guessing he got it right. But that's a weird scripture for Jesus to kind of put in there. But see, as you kind of look at the depth of that scripture and you kind of think a little bit about it, it does make sense. See, in ancient Hebrew mindset, there was a very strong dichotomy between that which was holy and that which is profane. between the everyday and the holy. Some things were used for everyday use, and some things were set apart for God only. And when Jesus spoke about throwing holy things before dogs and swine, he was referring first and foremost to Christian teaching and discipleship. And if you open up a Bible commentary, and most commentators would tell you something like this: Jesus is advising us to not waste our time continually offering up holy things to people who would reject them. We share the gospel up to a point, and the people continue to refuse to hear it, but then we move on. I mean, we can do harm to the cause of Christ if we fail to obey this command here. Do not throw your pearls. Do not throw something that is holy before swine. Do not throw something that is holy before dogs. And don't take what is holy and subject it to disgrace. Do not open up things of the Lord to contempt and mocking. Don't stand and judge others, offering them what may be the holiness of God without beginning to look at yourself and seeing where you need to receive holiness. Jesus is talking to those in the crowd that would not be willing to hear the fact that they are hypocrites, and that while they think they know the law and the grace of God, in fact they are dogs and swine, not able to understand the hope and grace of God through Christ. And because of this, Jesus commands that we practice some discernment about how much energy we spend on people and situations that cannot hear the truth found in scriptures and who constantly cannot take the plank out of their own eye before seeking to walk with others. There's a man who wanted to impress his friends with an eye for art as they went to a gallery together, and he forgot his glasses and he was really nearsighted, so he could hardly see the kind of the hand in front of his face, and he figured he could kind of wing it with some abstract comments and observations that he wanted to make so his friends would think he's pretty cool. And he approached this frame and he began to criticize it. Why would anybody paint something so hideously ugly? I mean, it's true rendering of an object, but why waste time painting such a disgusting subject? And everybody behind him was kind of laughing as his wife came up and said, "John, a mirror." I think we do that a lot of times. We're so quick to judge, so quick to condemn, that we realize that we're looking in a mirror and it's actually us. Friends, we're to be careful with what we judge and who we judge and how we judge things and by what measure we judge things. It's easy to say things about others and about other situations without knowing all of the details. Tell you that happens way too much. Jesus tells us today that not all judging is bad, but how we do it and how we communicate it really is what makes a difference. We are commanded by Scripture to make righteous judgments based on timeless truths of Scripture, not in the changing whim of society. We're cautioned to examine ourselves as we look at the lives of others. Folks, how you handle this can make or break your relationship with somebody and impact them for eternity. If you are harsh and you're condemning, you run the risk of a person rejecting Christ. But if you are firm and understanding and not quarrelsome and aware of your own shortcomings and you work hard to walk with them, then you have a chance of developing a relationship with them that could lead to a relationship with Jesus. I guess if I had to sum up Jesus' teaching, maybe I should have just done this in the beginning, we could have all gone home a half hour. If we sum up all of Jesus' teaching today, you can recall the saying, "Look before you leap," right? We need to look at ourselves before we leap to somebody else's life. We are to look at those issues in ourselves. We are to look at those things in ourselves that we need to make sure that we are right with God about before we even go and leaping into quick judgments. Let's pray together. Holy and gracious God, we pray for your life and your love to just shower over us right now. We know, Lord God, that yes, we are not perfect and that we falter and that we fail and that we truly desire to learn and grow and be led by you. And God, I'm standing here thinking about this coming week and thinking about all of those who will be together and various ideas and thoughts and theology. And God, I just pray a spirit of peace over conference. I pray a spirit of peace over us as a congregation. I pray a spirit of peace over my family and over myself as we continue to learn and grow and continue to get the planks out of our eyes so that we can clearly see and walk beside another who might be struggling through something. May we not assume things that are not true, but may we really focus on the truth, which is you, God. May our hearts be focused in that direction, and may we continue to live a life that honors and glorifies your name. For we pray all this in the name of the one who gives us life and life in abundance, Jesus the Christ. And all God's people said, amen.